You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Gym Class for a Wednesday, July the 14th. Great to have you aboard. We are presented by the DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. Or just stop by one of their many, many locations around the corridor in eastern Iowa. And thank them for being the presenting sponsor of the program here on KGYM. Great show for you coming up. Caddy Smack in the Gym Class. About 10, 15 minutes away, we'll talk golf with Brian Haas, the pro down at Blue Top Ridge at the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. We'll talk British Open. We'll look back at the John Deere Classic and talk golf, answer your questions about your game, and we'll do that coming up here in just a little bit on the program. We'll take a look back at last night's All-Star game, the American League winning once again, and talk about that, what went well, what did not go well, etc., etc. So that to kick around Big 12 Media Days for football going on down in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Matt Campbell making big impressions as far as the national writers and the local writers are concerned. And a little bit from the Iowa football camp as well here today. You are as close as the text line each and every day, and we encourage you to use the text line at 319-366-1600. You can also pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there as we take you through the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Scott Unash with you, Ben on the other side of the glass. We bring in Mark Dukes from the Southwest side, right? A soggy Southwest side is with everyone else. First of all, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott, everyone. And yeah, it was a nice storm this morning and looks to be more mainly in the northern part of our listening area, but maybe some severe weather later on. So stay tuned to KGYM for that. And yeah, let's talk about the lowest television ratings for an All-Star game in history.
Well, they keep going down each and every year, and I guess it's not a big surprise. NBA Finals are way down, the All-Star game way down, obviously. But you know, I thought it was okay, except for the uniforms last night. I will jump on the uniform. Anti-uniform bandwagon. They looked like a combination of onesie pajamas and garbage garbage bags last night.
Yeah, I'm in that camp as well. And by the way, on the television ratings, I do know that it's different than it was in 1980 when you had 36 million people watching the game. This is just television. There's all kinds of different platforms to consume the game. So I do get that. It doesn't mean it was, you know, all it does is say that it's the worst television ratings. That doesn't tell the whole story. At any rate, the uniforms, yeah, I didn't like them. I like the fact that players would wear their own team's uniform. I'm kind of torn on microphones on players. Since it is an exhibition, I think I'm okay with it.
Don't talk to a pitcher, though.
No, and don't ask Chris Bryant about being traded, boy. That's
I
thought Bryant handled really well.
He did handle it very well. He handled it
A lot of people were more perturbed about it than he was. Hey, I'm proud to wear the Chicago uniform and gonna play hard until they tell me I'm not. He didn't seem upset by it at all, and it's better than some of the softball questions that were out there. But I think it does add a bit of an element. Weren't they talking to Tatis when Guerrero hit his bomb?
Yep.
That was kind of humorous.
Just looked up and,
Yeah.
Yeah, Fox getting a lot of heat today for the microphones. Hey, if you mic up players, then you got to know what you may encounter. I mean, it's that simple. You know, you got to go over every scenario. And to mic up a pitcher when he's coming in, especially a closer, especially in a save situation, especially the first time he has a chance to do that as far as the All-Star game is concerned. And I don't care if it's Liam Hendricks or Lee Smith or whomever the case may be. They're going to be a little bit pumped up. And when they throw a bad pitch, they're going to let you know about it, especially when they think that their microphone is not working because that's what Liam Hendricks thought, as he could not hear the Fox booth, but they could hear him, which is the absolute worst combination you can possibly have as far as miscommunication or breakdown in technology is concerned.
Yeah, we deal with this in our business on a daily basis, right? And you always assume that the mic is hot, right?
Exactly. I learned
that very early on, 15 years ago, when we began this little shindig. But, hey, when you sign up to wear a mic, yeah, you got to accept, you know, both Fox and the player need to accept the fact that it's probably not going to be seamless.
And it wasn't. Let's just say that. It was not seamless. Did you like it, the All-Star game last night? 319-366-1600. All of the periphery, the mics, the uniforms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. 42 first-time All-Stars. That's an amazing number. I don't think we will see that number for a long time, if ever, to be honest with you, unless they keep expanding the rosters. And we may get up to 60. Who knows how it all plays out. The American League getting the victory. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with a couple of RBIs, including that home run, that mammoth home run. And he was the MVP. And he becomes the, the third? Is that correct? The third father-son? Was it to hit a home run or to be the MVPs? I can't remember in the All-Star game. But it's the Griffies were in there. And the latest would be the Guerreros.
Yeah, it really was a bomb, and I was kind of rooting. I knew Guerrero was going to win the MVP, and by the way, he was your pick yesterday. So
thank you.
Pat on the back for that. I was rooting for Mike Zunino, the catcher who also hit a home run. It widened the lead. He might have been, had he won the MVP, he might have been the first player in this game's history to have a .198 batting average and be the MVP of the game.
Charter member of the Timmy Laudner batting fan club. You remember Tim Laudner back in the day.
Yes, and I see him almost every day on Twins broadcast.
There you go. He was in there as well, a little bit south of the Mendoza line. Do not say Mendoza line when Mario is in your town, by the way. 319-366-1600 is the American League gets the victory in the ball game last night. And it was a three-hour game. For All-Star games are pretty snappy because, my gosh, it was endless between some of those half innings last night. And that was not even including the half innings where they had some special situation going on. I think it was 3 minutes and 20 seconds between half innings last night. So the game was pretty snappy, to be honest with you. And good pitching in a... Walsh, a first baseman in left field, made the play of the night on Chris Bryant's sinking liner, or the National League might have snuck out a victory in that one last night. He made a heck of a play out in the outfield.
He made a great play, and I had a really funny feeling that Bryant was going to hit a grand slam there and become the MVP and carry the National League to victory, and he admitted today, yeah, I was swinging for the fence because I could have done just that. But Walsh made a heck of a play on it. It probably would have cleared the bases had he not made that play. Bryant put a good swing on it. You can't fault him for that. But, no, I thought the game was okay. 5-2, it didn't reach double-digit total runs like the books and some others might have thought with the game being in Denver. But mainly dominated by pitching. A lot of folks tuned in to see Shohei Ohtani, who did relatively nothing. He did pitch a scoreless first. And but so did six other American League pitchers. So pitched scoreless one inning stints. So, and Ohtani went 0-for-2, a couple ground balls. So that was probably disappointing for some people who tuned in just to watch him. But by and large, I thought it was a pretty good game.
Yeah, I did too. Your thoughts, welcome at 319-366-1600 as the American League gets the victory in the All-Star game last night as they will head to Dodger Stadium next year in 2022. That is the site of next year's All-Star game as, should be, it was fun. It was good to see all the young players. It was good to see the smiles out there. I thought that was really neat, and I think Major League Baseball did a pretty good job. I thought the Hank Aaron tribute was really good and tasteful at the beginning, and bringing out Billy Aaron at the beginning of the ball game, terrific as well. And kudos to Major League Baseball for getting that done.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Please revisit the uniform idea, though, because you can. Please do so.
Well, it's easy. It's easy. Just bring along your uniform and wear it. Like most of the tweets last night, this was what a lot of people look forward to, is seeing the different uniforms out there all coming together, seeing your favorite team's uniform out there represented. I mean, not those monstrosities that they had last night. Although, another thing I thought that was interesting was the fact they showed, this was the second All-Star game hosted by Coors Field, and they showed the highlights from the first All-Star game there, and how much things have changed as far as Coors Field is concerned. A lot of work has been put into that stadium. Still have the upper center field bleachers, the rock pile, but still you have so many restaurant-type places now in the upper deck and right field, in left field, that weren't there for the first All-Star game. And I think as a historian-ish person, that's very interesting to me. Maybe not to others, but to me it was.
I've never been to Coors Field, but I know an Iowa City businessman who had has an establishment outside of Coors Field. I think he still does. And he's done quite well at that, as you would expect. But I thought it was a pretty sharp place.
319-366-1600 as we come your way on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. We'll get to Caddy Smack on the Gym Class coming up here in just a couple of moments. A reminder that the Gym has partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. Find out more information by going to our website. That, of course, is kgymradio.com. You can also pick up our podcasts right there at kgymradio.com. You can also pick those up at Apple and Spotify. We do appreciate you tuning in. Big 12 Football Media Day is going on today, Mark. And Matt Campbell, the hit of the show down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, said all the right things. Got a lot of good publicity and good play for answering the question of why you have not left Ames to this point. Says, it's not about, basically said, breaking it down and reading between the lines. It's about, not about me. It's about what I am laying down as far as the program and Ames is concerned. And boy, he hit a home run out of the park in All-Star game ease with that response today.
Yeah, it was basically, I didn't get into this business to be someone. I got into it to do something, plain and simple. And whether you believe that or not, personally, I believe him. You know, I believe him. I think he's had opportunities, and he's not done at Iowa State. As opposed to asking him this question, as opposed to, what do you think of being in the top 10 in the preseason? Well, I think he was asked that question, and he said, like most coaches, preseason means nothing, really. So a bit of, I wouldn't say news, but interesting comments there, but largely these media days don't yield a whole lot.
Greg Eisenberg saying that he's put on 10 pounds since last year, and becoming an even wanting to become a more effective defensive back. If that is the case, then look out for that defense as far as the rest of the Big 12 is concerned, the offenses as far as the Big 12 is concerned. And it will be interesting this year to see how Iowa State responds being the hunted. And you can make somewhat of a case Iowa State was the hunted last year, but not like this year. Iowa State, I believe, going into last year was picked fourth.
Mm-hmm.
This year they're picked second. They're supposed to get to the Big 12 championship game once again. There's a big difference when you have that target on your back to when you are chasing the team with your target on your back. That is, and Matt Campbell has done an exemplary job of just going up the ladder and knocking off and checking the boxes as far as everything that he needs to do, as far as the goal for this year, the goal for next year, the goal 2 years down the line, moving up as far as this program is concerned. That's the next one. That's the next one. Winning when you are expected to win. When you are expected to have a double-digit winning season, getting there. That's I think that's the big carrot at the end of the stick this year for Iowa State.
I think you're quite right, but I also think that Campbell and Iowa State are equipped very well to deal with it and meet it head on, largely because they did great things last year, uncharted territory. They know how to get there. Can they get there again and even exceed expectations? We shall see. But not only is Campbell at the helm, you got, 21 out of 22 starters coming back as well?
Correct.
Who have been there, done that. So I think they're well-equipped to meet the challenge.
I would agree. I would agree there. 319-366-1600. As Matt Campbell, Breece Hall, Greg Eisworth all down at Big 12 Media Days today. And, of course, news out of the Big Ten, as expected. I know Todd and Alex talking with Nebraska folks yesterday. One of the names that they brought up, Trev Alberts, to be the new athletic director. He was named the new athletic director today in Big Red Country. So Nebraska has one of their own now to guide Scott Frost in the football program, as well as Fred Hoiberg in the basketball program, to dizzying heights.
Well, is he one of their own? Trev Alberts, I went to high school in Cedar Falls. Don't we have an Iowan leading Nebraska athletics?
A transplanted Iowan. By the way, a proud alum of the NU High Little Panthers, by the way.
A school which closed in 2012, about 10 years ago. But Alberts was the athletic director in Nebraska-Omaha. Is it called Nebraska-Omaha now or just Omaha?
Just Omaha.
At any rate, he spent years as a television analyst for college football. And like anything in Nebraska and in other places, it's being met with mixed emotions. But he succeeds Bill Moose. We'll see how he does.
We'll see how it goes. 3:23, we're going to get to Caddy Smack in the gym class coming up. But we do need to give you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast, right across from Lindale Mall and behind the Taco John's. Before we get to golf talk here, Mark, we'll send it over to you.
All right. Without Major League Baseball, no scores to report today, but slices of news. More preseason accolades coming in for Iowa Hawkeyes. Via Athlons, Tyler Linderbaum, first-team preseason All-America. Tyler Goodson, running back, fourth-team. Via Mike Alas's Twitter feed, the Brisbane Bullets have signed former Iowa Hawkeye and Kansas Jayhawk Isaiah Moss to a 21-22 contract. Moss right now averaging 21 points a game for a team in New Zealand. Kofi Coburn will announce his college decision on Friday via his Twitter feed. He has narrowed his choices to Illinois, Kentucky, and Florida State. And finally, in a piece of news, perhaps forecasting things to come, Notre Dame has announced that all media members, whether they want to attend practice, games, any types of coverage, you must be fully vaccinated for COVID-19. And that's it, Scott.
All right. 3:24. We'll take a break, come back, and we will be joined by Brian Haas, and we'll have Caddy Smack in the gym class. So stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM.
This time of year is one of the deadliest due to drunk driving crashes. This year, we hope you enjoy spending time celebrating with family and friends. Just remember, buzz driving is drunk driving. If you're going to drink, plan another way home before the celebration begins and encourage your friends and family to do the same. Even one too many drinks increases the risk of a crash while driving. Be responsible and make a commitment to driving sober. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
There's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Right now, new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 moneyline wager on any NBA Finals game. If either team hits a three-pointer in the game, you'll win $100, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code HANSEN100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Get ready to end the season with a big win. Sign up now and discover BetMGM's parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSEN100, Hansen with an O, to win $100 in free bets if either team hits a three in any NBA Finals game. It's always showtime at BetMGM. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Mike here with Brown Shoe Fit Company in Marion.
What kind of sandals can we help you find? At Brown Shoe Fit, we've got men's sandals from top brands including Keen, Echo, Olakai, and Clarks. For walking the dog around the neighborhood or taking your journey off-road. We carry sizes up to 15. You'll always get a hand from the professionals in our store to find the right sandals with the right fit.
Brown Shoe Fit on Twixtown Road in Collins Square. Honestly, it's like having your own shoe store.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you in the gym class here at KGYM at 3:27. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. We have Game 4 of the NBA Finals coming up tonight for you at 7 o'clock. All of our frequencies, 8:05, 8:10 with the tip-off coming up tonight. As Milwaukee will try to even things up with the Phoenix Suns. Suns leading that series 2-1. And that is the subject of our poll question, Mark, at KGYMradio.com. Brought to you by Steve Anderson, his tremendous staff at Hawkeye Title and Settlement.
It is indeed a very simple one for you folks. Who wins Game 4 of the NBA Final? Phoenix or Milwaukee? Of course, Phoenix leading 2-1 right now. Go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com.
Indeed, and we'll have that game, as mentioned, coming up tonight. Baseball back with one game tomorrow, Yankees and the Red Sox, and that will get underway at 6 o'clock. And we'll have that one for you with the first pitch at about 6:10 tomorrow evening. That will be on all of our frequencies. Twins baseball back on Friday night. Twins are in Detroit to take on the Tigers at Comerica Park. So, look forward to that, and that's an early start at 5:30. Looking forward to bringing you Caddy Smack on the gym class. We do it each or every other Wednesday, I should say, and we bring in our friend Brian Haas, the head pro down at Blue Top Ridge at Riverside, the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, who joins us on Caddy Smack. And Brian, great to have you. How are you doing?
Doing well, guys. Just kind of fighting some rain down here, but it's a good day overall.
Well, you have to have the rain at times, but you don't want the wind that comes with it. You don't want the potential damage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. It just needs rain at night. That's all.
And without what they had at the U.S. Senior Open at Omaha over the weekend too.
Right. Yeah, it's just everybody's soft right now, so we're ready for a little more drought again.
How's your competitive juices flowing, Brian? I noticed you have the Iowa Senior PGA coming up next week.
Yeah, Iowa Senior PGA, and then the Iowa Open shortly after that. So I haven't been playing a lot, but I've been at least playing a little bit each week, and not a ton of practice. But the rounds I've been playing have been really good, so I'm excited and can't wait to get out there and play. I haven't been to Geneva Country Club in quite a while. It's been 10 to 12 years, so I need to find some time to get over there and get around it before we get there.
Got to see the course, no doubt about that. And well, we got the Open Championship, and we'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. But the John Deere Classic, of course, fresh in everyone's minds. And even though he didn't make the cut, it was great to see Alex Shockey out there getting a little bit of experience, and not too bad a Thursday and Friday for the former Hawkeye.
No, not bad at all, really. And it's just such a different experience that it's very few players that jump right out there to their first try and do well and make cuts and that sort of thing. It's not easy to do. I know Steven, he missed the cut the first time he tried and made the cut the second time he tried and had the opportunity. So it's not easy. It is definitely a different feel. Just the sheer number of people, and the way you have to manage your way around the golf course through the people and the ropes and all the different things that are going on. It's, I don't want to call it a circus, but it is definitely a different way to play golf.
319-366-1600 if you have a question for our friend Brian Haas about your game, about anything related to golf. And Brian, the transitioning from the John Deere to the Open Championship at Royal St. George's in Sandwich, England, I was thinking today, you know, you had this tree line TPC deer run with water and sand and whatnot. And I'm looking at the Golf Channel and you've got one tree on this particular golf course.
It's majestic, though.
Yeah.
But to me, it looks like you want to avoid the bunkers over there because that's an automatic one-shot penalty, is it not?
It may be. It just really depends where your ball ends up in that bunker. You really hope to stay away from the edges of that bunker. Anything near the edges of some of those bunkers, there's just no way to get out. You have to go sideways or some other direction to get yourself out of there. So your misses need to be really good misses into the center of those bunkers and not toward the edges of them.
Also, when you're down there, if you get too close to the face of it, like you said, you got to go backwards because there are 6-foot faces on a lot of those bunkers at Royal St. George's.
Yeah, and backwards might mean you only need to hit it 3-4 feet to be back in the middle of the bunker so you can hit one out because both edges have those walls. So you don't want to hit it into the back edge and then be stuck against the back edge wall. So sideways sometimes is the better. You might be hitting it back toward the fairway sideways or deep past the green sideways. So you're playing parallel to the wall.
Brian, I want you to imagine this for a moment. I know there are several first-time players in the Open. Imagine if you were fortunate enough to have qualified for the Open. Maybe you played in the John Deere. You're getting on that plane. And you get over to England, how would you approach getting ready to play in this tournament?
I think the first thing I'd do is make sure I had all the layers I needed. So the minus layers for when it's warm and the plus layers for when it's windy and rainy. And just the things to keep your equipment dry. That's half the battle. So if you feel good out there and your equipment's dry, you can actually perform. Then I think after that, it's different golf. It is. We have a golf course that our company has up in near Sioux Falls. It's in Iowa, in Larchwood, Iowa. It's called the Falls at Grand Falls, and it is. We don't have a single tree out there, and so it's similar type golf. And the bunkers are Reese Jones bunkers, and they're deep, and the big bullnoses, and the grass goes all the way down. Nothing like the sod bunkers that you're going to see at the Open. at Royal St. George's, but they are very deep and steep. But the cool thing about playing in conditions like that is, and what I really liked about Royal St. George's is not two of the holes go the same direction. And and Reese did a really nice job with that up at our resort at Grand Falls. And it seems like you have to play downhill or downwind into the wind, both directions, side wind. And you need to play all the shots. And that's what they're going to experience at Royal St. George's, is that they're going to use every club in their bag, because they're going to see every wind condition. Cause again, not two holes go the same direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian Haas joining us here as we have Caddy Smack on the Gym Class right here on KGYM. We'll get our prediction for the Open Championship, which is always a lot of fun because, hey, one out of what, 156, what could go wrong possibly as far as that is concerned? If you have a question,
I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, I know. If you have a question for Brian, go ahead and about your game, go ahead and text us on the text line at 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there. 1960 has an equipment question about the golf ball, which I'm going to let you answer because you know all about, you've been to the Titleist Center down in San Diego. You know all about the aerodynamics, et cetera, et cetera. Do dimples make the ball go further, and what do they do, is basically the question. And yes, but it's a fairly complicated answer to that question. And I know that the Titleist folks and everywhere else that works with golf balls, they're trying to find a way to make those golf balls go farther and farther. And that is what Jack Nicklaus and others are saying that is the problem. Not the clubs themselves, the ball is going farther. So tackle that one, Brian.
Sure. Well, my opinion, I don't not share the opinion of Jack Nicklaus in the sense that, you know, everything is faster and farther. I agree with that. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think players want to have success and they want to hit, in Phil's words, bombs, and enjoy the game and feel like they're tour players. You know, and the reality is they're not, and this equipment allows them to at least have some of those feelings when they play that way. So in that sense, I'm kind of against what Mr. Nicklaus is saying. I like it. I think it's good for golf, and players love to hit those big shots. So that being said, the golf ball is there's different dimple patterns, and hopefully I say this correctly, and I don't embarrass Titleist when I say it, but the larger the dimples on a ball, the more that ball will spin. So when you look at in progression of the types of balls that everybody plays with, and we'll just use the Titleist ball as a good example, and they have a ball for every type of player, whether it's a budgetary thing or the type of player that you are, they have a golf ball for you. And each of the manufacturers have that. But when you look at just their premium golf balls, and what's nice about a premium golf ball is it helps every player hit a ball closer to the hole for how they attack the golf ball. So each player should look at the golf ball and say, this is kind of what I do, and so what do I need out of my golf ball to help me do that better? And so when you look at the Pro V line, they have a Pro V, the regular ball, which is for most players. And then they have that, which flies kind of at a medium height. The Pro VX flies the highest and spins the most. So it has kind of like the deepest dimple pattern because it will grab the air and move it. And then as the balls get longer and faster, you're going to see the dimple patterns get a little more shallow and more dimples. So the ball won't spin as much. So your Pro VX flies the highest, spins the most, and then your Pro V flies a little bit lower, spins a little bit less. Then they have a left dash Pro VX that flies high but doesn't spin. So that dimple pattern will be different yet. And then you go into the AVX ball, which flies lower yet, is about a whole club farther than all of them, and spins less, compared to all the rest of those. So that's kind of what happens with the golf balls. And again, each manufacturer has a golf ball that does something similar to that. And when you really set the balls down next to each other and look at the dimple patterns, you can really see how the dimples are laid out on the golf ball and how deep and shallow they are in order to create those different things that they do. But even more important than the dimples is how the two covers, their multi-layered balls, and those covers come together. And when you pinch down on them, you know, certain balls will fly higher and spin more, and some will come off lower and spin less. And that's that pinching motion of the golf club to those two layers is really what gets that all started. And the dimples are kind of like wings on an airplane, and they allow air, you know, around the ball to be like air underneath a wing, to whether it flies up higher or stays more shallow and flies lower.
Interesting. Another question on the text line, Brian, from 1577. Question I think a lot of us can relate to.
Yes, very much so.
I had my game rolling for a while, then played in a couple scrambles, and now I'm sideways. How do I reset?
Scrambles will do that to you for sure. I look forward to scrambles because they're kind of mindless rounds of golf. They're just fun, and you can go out and hit some bombs, as Mr. Mickelson will say, and have some fun and try to hit shots close to the hole. The hard part is that whole day you're trying to hit, you know, the longest tee ball you possibly can. Then you're trying to hit the next shot as close to the hole as you possibly can. And so you're hitting shots in the corners of greens that you really shouldn't be trying to get into. And doesn't mean you don't ever hit any good shots like that, but your odds are really low. So then the next time you go play, if you played in a couple of scrambles and you're taking dead aim at everything, you get on the golf course, you start taking dead aim at everything, and you're going to find yourself short-sighted and in a lot of trouble. So you have to get back to playing what I call middle of the fairway, middle of the green golf. And I usually just dare my students to go out and do that. Go put a ball in play, you know, somewhere in the fairway, and then put the next ball in the middle of the green, no matter where the pin is. And let your putter do the talking and two putt, make your par and move on. And I dare them to go do that 18 times. And usually that kind of gets you out of it. So you got to think, go pin hunting, get more center of the green and get yourself in the fatter parts of the golf course.
There is nothing in the golf world that can make you learn and practice bad habits than taking part in a best shot or a scramble or whatever the case may be. Especially if you were the last hitter and just go for it because you try to hit it about 575 yards and it doesn't work, and then you're all messed up for about 2 weeks.
Oh, it works. It works like three times, and then you think you're invincible. That's the hard part. It's the good shots. You remember all those good ones you hit in the scramble, and you think, why can't I do that all the time?
True.
Hey, Brian, on a personal note, I bought new wedges. I don't want to say the brand because that's your job, not mine. I bought a 52, a 56, and a 60, okay? And hit it a few times, and then Scott and I went out, and I was really pleased with the results. And I probably should have figured that would be the case because I had an old Cleveland Classic without any grooves in it. But my question is, like most clubs, you want to figure out how far you're going to hit these clubs, right? Scott, my 60 was
about,
you know,
60 yards.
Nice, 60, 70 yards, nice, easy swing. And then up, you know, progressively with the other two. So, no, you're not going to have that full distance all the time, Brian, but that would seem to me to be very important with all three wedges, your max distance and your and whatnot, right?
Yes, definitely. And so we obviously use our practice range. We have a flag set out there at 20, 40, 65, 80, 95, and 110. And we call it the Bob Barker, so you can go out and practice and hit a shot without going over. And, you know, that's the most basic thing any practice range can have. And most players are carrying some sort of a laser today, so they can go out to a range and laser an object on the range and start practicing to a distance. That's the best thing you can do. And start to understand whether you're an o'clock player and you swing at 9 o'clock, you know, at maybe half grip, you know, for 80 yards or whatever that number might be. And each player kind of has those sort of feelings. I'm more of a field player, so I don't do the o'clock system But I have a feeling when I look at 80 yards of how far that club needs to go back and what the pace is through the ball to get to that distance. So getting out there and measuring those distances with a rangefinder and just hitting shots to a bunch of different distances is the best way to do that. And then knowing what your limits are too, like you were saying, I don't like to hit my 60-degree wedge over 60 yards, and I can hit it 80 or 90 yards. It's just not comfortable. But to know those max distances and to know where you're comfortable and what is your bread and butter swing and how far does that go. A simple rangefinder and some practice balls at the range is a great way to do that. And then at the highest level, my players are in the studio using TrackMan, and it gives you exact carry distances. So those are all written down on averages. They know exactly how far the ball carries for every club in their bag.
Yeah, I can tell you I'm not hitting the 52 145, Brian.
yeah, I neither. You know, that's definitely more in the pitching wedge world for me as well.
Yeah. It is 3:45. We're going to take a short break, come back, and we'll have more of Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Your questions for Brian Haas, welcome at 319-366-1600. If you want some tips about your game and just want to talk golf, love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. Back after this.
We're in this together, and we will get through this together. The vaccines are tested effective and needed.
Welcome to the clinic. Which arm?
Get your COVID-19 vaccine. So we can do this and this and this.
We are now boarding flight
together again because we got through it together.
This message sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Save today on your next project with 11% off everything now at Menards. Light up your garage or workspace with Patriot Lighting. Get a 15,000 lumen high bay light that's energy efficient and swivels to adjust light where you need it. All Patriot Lighting is 11% off. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through Saturday, July 17th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back, Gym Class, and Caddy Smack on the Gym Class here on KGYM on this Wednesday edition of the program. Thank you very much for joining us. We're brought to you by the DuPaco Community Credit Union each and every day right here on KGYM. And that includes, Mark, today, National Nude Day. I'm just going to leave everything right there. I'm just throwing it out there. But that is today.
Well, that's a good idea, Scott.
No, I'm good. I'm fine. we'll pass on that. 319-366-1600 as we talk golf with Brian Haas. If you have a question, go ahead and text us the question. We'll pass it along to Brian at 319-366-1600. Open Championship coming up, and we'll get to our picks for that and talk a little bit about it coming up here in just a moment. Yeah, 7329 has a very interesting point here, Brian. They say, please remind folks that not all range balls are also equal at one specific course. Their ball may go a little bit further than some of the other places, just depending on, you know, the ball itself, how old they are, et cetera, how many times they've been hit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is true.
It is very true. And yeah, that's a good point to bring up. Even we use a premium pinnacle ball here at our facility. And even there on TrackMan, we see some variances in that pinnacle ball. It's meant to be a durable golf ball for warming up, not necessarily accuracy. But what's good though is, if you can find a place with a good pinnacle golf ball like that, they're pretty close. And they're not bad. There's always one or two in the bunch that, you know, aren't perfect. But if you hit those and you get a good idea when you get onto the golf course, it'll be fairly accurate. And you'll obviously make your adjustments as you play and you start to understand your distances. But that particular golf ball I do know is pretty good and can give you some pretty decent accurate numbers.
Brian, before we get to our open picks, I want to back up to the great description you had about the dimples in a golf ball in response to the question. My follow-up would be, does one type of ball that you describe, that's a ball that should be used for low handicappers, high handicappers, or is it one size fits all?
So they're definitely not one size fits all. Each person impacts the golf ball differently. There are really no two players alike. There's some that are very similar, but there truly are no two players alike. So there are definitely golf balls for players, and a premium ball will always help an average player. Realize that, because no matter which one you end up choosing, the premium balls will spin better for your game and react better on the greens. That's why they're expensive, and that's why you know the best players in the world play with them, because they can control the spin of the ball. And so when you find yours, that's the best thing you can play with, because your short game will be better, and we know we don't all hit every green, so if we can get it close to the hole, our scores will be better. As you get into the less expensive balls, the non-premium balls, they struggle a little bit more in the short game spin aspect of them. And it's mainly because they don't have all the dual layers and the extra spinning capabilities that the premium ball has. It just costs less for them to build it that way. So then you can get a more cost-effective golf ball. So each manufacturer has their Pro V ball and then next level down, where at full impact, it will do pretty much the same thing as one of their premium balls. But what it won't do is in the short game area, it won't be quite as spinny and capable of some of those shorter shots. And then as you get toward, we'll say, like a pinnacle ball, which you can buy in dozens of or in boxes of 18, and that's your most inexpensive ball, but it gets you on the golf course and gets you playing. It's not a bad way to start. Just realize when you hit a lot of those pitches and chips, it's going to run out and run away more. And it's designed for that. It's just designed not to spin. It's designed to keep going and go straight. But for somebody whose ball is curving in the air, that's a good thing, because it won't curve as much either.
True. Very, very true. Open Championship coming up. Best part about the Open Championship is no split tees. And it is, you go off number one, and they go off from sun up till sundown. They're playing golf at the Open Championship. By the way, that big controversy was put to bed yesterday when the head of the entire shoot match over there came on in his news conference and said, it is the Open Championship. So let's put British Open away forever. But anyway, they play in threesomes, and the first one goes off local time in the morning at 6:35 a.m. Final group goes off in the afternoon at 4:16. That is amazing and incredible. They can do that because they have a lot of sunlight over there in Great Britain. But I think it's a fun, like we talked about yesterday, Mark and I, Brian, it's probably top to bottom the best field, even though you don't have, unfortunately, a Zach Johnson. Hideki Matsuyama had to pull out. Bubba Watson had to pull out as well. But it is basically, this is the kind of the world championship, if you will.
It is. It's really cool. And to go play a golf course, at least for the Americans, that they don't see regularly, that type of golf. It's just fun to watch. And my oldest son, Drew, made a comment the other day. He goes, Dad, guess what? I get to get up before work every day and watch golf during the Open. And so he's so excited for that to start tomorrow. And as a banker, he even works a little bit on Saturday. So he'll get up in the morning while he's getting ready for work and, you know, watch the Open. And I know I'm going to do it. I did that with Wimbledon last week and got up in the morning and watched some Wimbledon. It's just fun. And I think that's what we like about it. It's different golf. It's a different atmosphere. The course is, this particular course is definitely different than anything we really watch here in the United States. And it's just going to be exciting.
We do have our picks, but Scott, a couple good questions on the text line. Maybe Brian can give quick answers to. What
sure.
do you think?
Sure, go ahead.
36.95, Brian. I've always hit the ball high in the air and recognize that doing so is costing me distance. Tips for lower trajectory ball flight.
Yeah, most players, if they're complaining about how high it really goes like that, their hands are usually behind the ball at impact and not in front of the ball through impact. So work on your shaft lean through impact. It'll feel more like you're trying to hit it underneath a stick that's only a foot off the ground. And it'll never go under that stick, but the feeling gives you that. So if you held a stick 1 foot off the ground and you said, hit the ball underneath that, that's what shaft lean feels like. And so my guess is that your hands are even or even behind the ball. And that'll add loft to your club. So every club is going to act, you know, like two clubs loftier than the one you're hitting.
Second question, what is your best amateur advice? Not amateur advice, but advice to an amateur you can give regarding putting.
Sure. I think speed. Work on your speed. Don't worry so much about how you're aiming as much as is how fast. Pick your line, and then from that line get the right speed. And give yourself enough space. Most amateurs do finish on the low side of the hole. They don't give themselves enough break. And so a ball that breaks underneath the hole will roll twice as far away from the hole than a ball that finishes above the hole. And so just to give you an idea, you'll be half as close to the hole each miss if you play enough break. So that being said, just work on your speed. A good drill for that is the ladder game. Drop 6 balls down 3 feet apart and start the first ball and get each ball to finish 12 inches or 18 inches or 6 inches, whatever your comfortable position is past the hole. And no matter what length that is, you want to create that same speed each time. So it's just like if we're sitting in the same room and I said, hey, toss me your keys. You know exactly how hard to throw your keys to that person. You're not going to throw them, knock them over, and you're not going to be short. You know, you'll throw them just the right distance, and they'll grab your keys. You can do that with a putter. It's the same feeling, and it's that feeling of just getting that right speed to your target. So work on your speed control.
All right. Before we get our picks real quick, we do have breaking news coming out, and Todd and Alex will probably hit this pretty hard. Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer have been subpoenaed for documents over the hiring and the resignation of Chris Doyle, the former Iowa strength and conditioning coach. So interesting things right there. More on that coming up in just a little bit. All right, I will go first. My Open Championship pick, he came oh so close in the Scottish last week. I'm going to go with Matthew Fitzpatrick to win, the Englishman, and it'll be a very popular victory over there. That is my pick, Mark.
I'm going to go with the guy who's finished second in the last two majors, a king of heartbreak in major championships, Louis Oosthuizen.
Good one.
With another Englishman, Tyrrell Hatton, to challenge.
Brian, who do you like?
I don't know. I think Justin Thomas is in a good spot. Ricky played really well there. Was it 2011 or something like that?
Right.
And he likes that golf course, so I'm rooting for Ricky to get his.
Darren Clark, I believe, was the winner the last time it was there. Very popular win. Maybe not as popular as Shane Lowry's. But we'll see anyway. All right. Hey, Brian, appreciate it. Best of luck next week. In the golf tournament, thanks for the tips, and we will talk with you again in a couple weeks. We look forward to it.
That sounds great, guys. Thank you so much, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Indeed. Brian Haas from Blue Top Ridge down at Riverside, the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, joining us here. Yeah, the Jaguars and Urban Meyer subpoenaed for the hiring and the resignation of Chris Doyle. That just coming out right now. So we'll have more on that in the All-Star Game with Todd and Alex coming up next. Tomorrow, Jeff Linder of the Gazette will join us. We will preview a Eastern Iowa heavy state softball tournament. Congratulations to all the teams that qualified over the last couple of days in Fort Dodge. We'll talk with you tomorrow, Mark.
Sounds great. Talk to you then, Scott.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class here on KGYM.
This is KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. KGYM Sports Radio. The Gym.
This is SportsCenter.